This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are live in downtown Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino. The lovely Circa Resort and Casino and the sportsbook is starting to get packed. We got six games on the baseball diamond going on right now, so we're going to have you covered top to bottom. I am Doug Kazarian here in Las Vegas, joined by Will Hill on the other side of the East Coast. A little coast-to-coast action. Will, how are you?
Doug, what's going on, man? Great to be with you. Yeah, it seems like, I don't know, just an hour ago, a day ago, you and I were elbow to elbow at Naked City, throwing back drinks, eating wings, but I have, unfortunately, I guess fortunately, returned to my homeland, but we'll still have fun together, even though we're not next to each other. But 4 hours here, a lot of baseball. Football is very much on the horizon because, full week of preseason starts tomorrow. College, not that far. We're 10 days away from college, so should be a fun show, a fun time of the year, Doug.
And we probably need to clarify for our audience, given this is Las Vegas, the name of the establishment is Naked City. It's a pizza, beer, and wings place. Okay.
Yes.
It was a family. In fact, you brought your family next door, yes, albeit, but you took the road trip with the family to Vegas.
You witnessed them and everyone at Naked City that night. Matt Heumann, Sammy P, Femi Abebefe, who's usually with me on Wednesdays, witnessed my kids get ejected from their first bar. They walked in and they walked right out. I was told, I think, I don't want to point fingers, but, and I don't want to mention names.
Point away.
Bring the family, bring the kids. It'll be fine. No big deal. And as soon as they walked in, I think it was the bar owner said, absolutely not. Are you out of your mind? You're going to bring a three-year-old to a bar? So we had to slum it next door.
Yeah, I was going to ask you to give some context. You said your kids got thrown out of their first bar. We weren't trying to pull a fast one at 19 here. Definitely awesome sequence. So we have, like I said, six baseball games. That those 6:40 Eastern starts really sneak up on you if you're not ready to play those seven Eastern games as you wait. There was one day game still going on. Red Sox, with two outs and two on a few innings ago, hit a three-run shot to tie it at five, and that's where we stand, top nine. So Aroldis Chapman, not a safe situation, but they're the home team, so they bring out Chapman for the ninth. Diamondbacks have one on and one out. So Arizona is an above 500 team, and I believe they said this on the broadcast. I'm probably going to butcher it, but Boston, I think, is 17-0 since the beginning of whatever month against teams with a winning record. So remember, they lost to they stubbed their foot against the A's recently, but yeah, they've been just dominating in this situation. So down 5-2 and do come back from 5-5. And then the Diamondbacks now have two on with a runner on second in scoring position after a hit and run fielder's choice.
Yeah, and the Red Sox, it looks like a little bit like the July Red Sox here, where they've rallied back. And I know our buddy Chris Massera, our mutual friend, gets annoyed when Chad Tracy, the manager, overuses Aroldis Chapman and brings him into unnecessary situations. And our buddy Chris, which is why we love him, gets annoyed at a lot of things, which is why he's great. But right now, like he said, 5-5, top of the ninth. Other scores, Philly up 3-0 on Miami. Yankees down 1-0. And this is a game I have a play on. And if you listen to VSiN regularly, I've just blindly been betting Yankee unders, Doug, because it's pretty simple. They can pitch. They can't hit. It seems like every game you look up in the sixth inning, it's 1-0. It's 1-1. It's just a struggle for them to score runs, but their pitching, starting pitching and bullpen have been really good. But this night, that trend might break here. It's 1-0, but it looks like McMahon just doubled here. It was thrown out at second, so it's going to be at least 1-1 here, and I think set up a man on third. But what interests you here from a baseball perspective here as we're in the middle of August?
So I'm heavy on the Guardians. Those picks are posted on the VSiN picks page, as Will was just explaining, VSiN.com, VSIN.com. Check out the picks page. You can search by category, sport, by expert, and whatnot. I'm heavy on the Guardians. Look, these are the situations you really want, where the odds makers and the betting market really don't have an idea of what the number should be. You have the Guardians going with their ace, the youngster, Miss Messick, who's been fantastic of late, but more so it's a bet against the Giants. One is, this is a triple-A lineup for two-thirds of it because of just how they, what substitutions they've made in their lineup and everything. You get a couple guys that concern me. in this lineup. Like Basabe goes yard, he cranks, but he's not in the he is in the starting lineup. But the rest of the lineup, like Devers, sure, things like that. But for the most part, the San Francisco lineup does not concern me, and they have a guy making his major league debut. And it's the broadcast keeps cutting to his parents, I believe, in the crowd. So Matt Wilkinson making his debut, and it's just run line flat plus 100. Again, I think these are what you want as a bettor to have a situation where a team's planning for the future, flirting with the worst record in the big leagues, and a team that's kind of peaking. They just added Adele in the lineup. He went yard twice the other night, and there's just a lot to like with this Guardians offense, where that was the Achilles heel, but Ramirez returned recently, and now they added some other weapons.
Yeah, and the Red Sox, by the way, to go back to that game, did escape the top of the ninth, so we're heading in the bottom of the ninth. Red Sox with a chance to walk it off, but I agree. You look at Wilkerson, the velocity, just some of the underlying stuff where he's pitched, it's going to be hard. It's hard to see him have success, and Messick's been very good. I felt the same way, and I don't want to pass post here, so I'll just discuss games that are philosophies you and I have talked about before. When you have a big home favorite, Doug, and you have a pitching matchup where you feel like it's a mismatch, Rasmussen for the Rays, Scherzer versus the Blue Jays, Messick for Cleveland, and Wilkerson for the Giants. Sometimes that first team to score minus 120, minus 130 is a better way, because none of us like to lay $2, lay 230. You came up with the run line, which I think is a very reasonable position to take, but sometimes that first team to score. Now, look, you could lose it on the first batter, the first pitch of the game, solo home run, you lose, and you never got a shot. That's part of the deal here, but I think you and I are looking to attack sometimes these mismatches without laying. I mean, who wants to lay 220, 230? It's a hard way to win, but if you can find some sort of derivatives to get away from that, you might be in good shape. Yeah. You pick your spots properly.
Yeah, and the other sort of prop that's obviously correlated to that I've brought up in the past is you can bet first team in a race to X amount of runs. So you can do two runs, three runs, and that does give you a little buffer if the team that's a big underdog gets a fluke run. Now, they have to score three runs because it's a three-way line, so you got to be careful there with the Guardians, and the game total was 7.5. So I thought about something like that, but, man, this Giants team is really not. I mean, they got destroyed yesterday, so maybe that's factoring into a little my handicap, just like recency bias, but I do think there's something to be said about an offense that does break through with Adele, and I was like, okay, this Guardians team can hit if the stars are aligned. Now, they are not familiar with a guy making his big league debut, so there's some concern there, but for the most part, I felt pretty comfortable with this position, but, the Wilkinson just got out of it with a pop-up to end the inning in foul territory, so we are scoreless through two. So we'll see. We'll see how the first to score or first race to three runs, something like that, pans out. You mentioned that Chapman got out of it. So we're in the bottom nine. The bottom of the lineup, Rutschman, the acquisition at the deadline, the ninth slot before the lineup turns over. And if the D-backs get out of this, we'll go to the Ghost Runner in extra. So I wanted to ask you, because the Orioles scored the first run of that game with the Yanks. They did that first and third, two out, okay? And they did the double steal. And so with two outs, sometimes you just see a pump fake throw, and then they give them basically second base because they're worried. So they actually threw all the way down to second base safe, and then the runner on third did steal and score, and that's how the Orioles got their first run. What did you make of that sequence? Because I rarely see the throw all the way through unless it's like Salvador Perez on third who's not stealing clearly.
Well, we are at the time of the year, Doug, where it's the Little League World Series, and as someone who's coached Little League, you never throw to second, but that's 10, 11, 12-year-olds. It's the major leagues. It can't be first and third. Hey, you automatically get second because we're afraid of throwing the guy out at third. So I understand throwing through. I don't know how to protect against it, because I guess if you're the offensive team and you have the base runners and you time it perfectly and your guy doesn't get thrown out at second, that's a lot of ifs. You can kind of steal a run that way. But I don't know. It's just, as someone who's watched baseball and played baseball, my whole life, not that I play anymore. I have a hard time saying, hey, it's first and third. We can't throw. You automatically get second. I don't know. What's you're good at these strategy things. If you're managing the team,
I think it's
that's
all
on defense. Are you just eating the ball?
Yeah, I think it's all nuance, right? Like who the catcher is, who the base runner is, things along those lines. I played second, and so our coach would have us storm in and cut it off the throw. So like, between the pitcher's mound and second.
And that never worked either for our team,
well,
at least.
Yeah, I mean, a couple times, but not like I had a cannon. So some guy running, it was just very difficult across the board. But I think with two outs And you have, in the Yankees' case, Will Warren on the bump. I think you kind of got to let it go. I mean, look, Bregman got picked off third, cheating down the line the other night in a huge leverage spot. So sometimes you can just do that and not even worry about the runner, throw straight to third. And Bregman was even cheating inside the line, and the throw still beat him in the tag.
Well, whatever you're going to do, it's not going to work for long, because if you get out the book that, hey, you know, Doug Kazarian's team, when they get first and third, they're going to do the double steal. The only way to get the guy home is if the guy on third cheats and runs basically not even on the throw, but on the thought of a throw. So what plays against that, Doug, if I'm the catcher, I give one little pump fake, one little shoulder shake, your guy in third starts to come down the line, he's dead. And then all of a sudden your play doesn't work anymore. So there's that sort of cat and mouse game. There is no right answer. As you said, there's a lot of nuance to it.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's all new. It's like you said, it's nuance. So who knows how it all plays out, but the Red Sox get an infield single. So it's not an error. Well, yeah, the throw was an error, but it was a diving grab. So runner on first in the bottom of the ninth, one out though. So Rafael is at the dish now, and Boston this summer has just been winning these types of games. So I would expect them to pull it off in this situation. Messick is cruising in the games Will and I have action on, so we'll continue to monitor that. But like I said, six games going on right now in baseball. We're going to have more starting this hour, and Greg Peterson is standing by. He's going to join us bottom of the hour. But Will, I want to ask Will, how do you bet a team? How do you bet a game involving a team that just lost 22-0? So we'll break down that one with the Brewers game and just Mariners just no-showed last night. We're just getting started. Four full hours. He is Will Hill. I am Doug Kazarian. This is Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we're rolling along here. Hour one, a four-hour tour here on VSiN Primetime. I'm Doug Kazarian here in downtown Las Vegas, joined by Will Hill on the other side of the country. A little coast-to-coast here, Will. And we have extras with the one remaining day game left, and that is Diamondbacks at the Red Sox. We're in the 10th inning now. The D-backs had a sacrifice bunt, so we have a runner on third, one out. Chapman is out, so he pitched that uneventful ninth. And so we're in extras here. Nolan Arenado at the dish. We'll continue to monitor that. Five other games underway in the last half hour, so, or maybe hour. So a lot going on right now. Yankees up 2-1 in Baltimore. It was 1-0 with the O's had the lead. And then the Yanks responded with two runs. And you're sitting there on the other under, aren't you?
I am. And to me, the Yankees have just been an under team pretty much for the last few weeks. And you look at some of their numbers since Aaron Judge got hurt. Bottom of the league in pretty much everything. And it's not just Judge. He's hurt. Bellinger's hurt. Stan's hurt. So, I mean, think about it, Doug. Judge is one of the all-time great hitters, certainly one of the, you know, the best hitter of our generation. No doubt, as soon as he stops playing 5 years from now, he's a Hall of Famer. Stanton, 50-50 Hall of Famer. And Cody Bellinger, you know, has won an MVP, was MVP of the All-Star game. That's a lot of pop to have out of your lineup. But the pitching is awesome. So they've really just been, you know, you put the under in the night before or whatever, and you just forget about it, and you look up, and you got a winner the next day. They have been an under machine recently. Let me ask you, though, as someone who bets this stuff all the time, and you and I have to have, you know, like to have these sort of weird discussions just from a big picture standpoint. When you bet a team and the game goes to extra innings, would you rather have the home team or the road team? I will give you my answer, which is C, which I'm sure people have seen the Family Guy clip where the guy just goes up, Peter goes up to the sports book counter and he just hands the money and the guy asks him, who do you want to bet it on? He goes, just take my money. I feel like I always lose, Doug, these extra inning games. It feels like it doesn't matter if I have the home team or the road team. I'm cursed with the extra innings. It's why I stick the first five. But do you have a preference? I'm telling you right now, your team that you bet's going to extras, home team or road team? What do you got?
Well, assuming I have no run line and it's a straight money line price, I would say I like the home team. It just helps the strategy.
Okay.
I do know.
Know what you need?
Yeah, the floodgates can open on the road, and you don't want to give away outs per se. But I do think the home team, I mean, look, the D-backs had to sacrifice. Now, they just got a term I've been using a lot lately, a little duck squirt to left that gets over the shortstop and third baseman barely. So The Arizona Diamondbacks now have a 6-5 lead, one out still, runner on first. So we'll see if they're able to tack on. But yeah, I think just if you can hold them scoreless in the top half of the inning, I really like the position on the bottom. And frankly, honestly, you can bet out of it too. You can bet the road team plus a ridiculous money line. And if it goes extra, you can scalp out of that and still scoop both. And so there's just, you just have such an advantage with the last ups and the strategy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you, under your circumstance, you were very kind to yourself, and you just gave yourself a scoreless top half of the inning. Sure, right. If I could get that top half of the inning scoreless, sure, that's great. I just feel like, and I don't, again, I don't have a, you know, one side or the other here. I just feel like when I give up the run as the home team, then there's so much pressure on my side to get a run. I don't know. I'd be curious what the data bears out as we've been doing this, to me, ridiculous thing the last 4 or 5 years. The hardest thing in baseball is to get a base runner score run, to just give away a base runner and put him on second. I get nobody wants 18 inning games, but you know what? How about in the 11th inning, we put a guy on first to move things along. And then we, you know, the 13th inning, we put a guy on second to go immediately to the ghost runner. I just think it introduces so much. It's not baseball. Like this, we all grew up watching baseball, playing balls. This is not baseball. So I don't like it, but I especially don't like it when my bets go to extra innings.
Yeah, I know what you mean, and I used to think like that, but I actually really like the ghost runner. It's like, come on, we got 162 of these games. Let's go. It's fair for both teams. You had 9 innings to do it. That's what I always got a kick out of, all the complaints in the NFL. It's like when you know, the old overtime, it's like, well, this team didn't get a chance. It's like, yeah, they had 4 quarters. They had 60 minutes. You could have gone for 2. Sometimes you know the rules. You know it's going to come down to maybe a coin flip. And your offense, and you also had your defense had a chance to stop them. So the whining like this team didn't get a chance. Right. So in this case, like, you know the rules. When you're on the road, you know that the home team has a quote-unquote advantage, statistically maybe. So maybe send the runner or, you know, do some stuff that you wouldn't normally do because you know the circumstance. Kind of like we talked about this summer with the World Cup. If you know that and you're a big favorite and you know the shootouts kind of makes things level, then you can play a certain way, and you have to know that in the back of your mind.
I get it. And to me, it's not like, hey, this team didn't get a chance. It's not fair. I just, as a fan, as a viewer, I don't know, it's just kind of gimmicky, kind of cheap. I feel the same way about college football where, you know, you get sometimes these classic games where it's a defensive battle and it's hard to score and it's 10-10. You know, Michigan, Ohio State 1 year was like this. And it's hard to get a first down. It's hard to score. And all of a sudden, you know, we're going to give these teams the ball at the 20 or the 25. And it just becomes like a video game. I don't know. I'm like, nobody asked me, so it doesn't matter.
But in these like huge marathon games in the old days with the old extra innings rules, like, doesn't it affect the team that like for 2 more or 3 more days?
Yeah, but that's where I take your stand of like, I don't care. Then don't play 18 in games. Right. I used to love
throw a position games player. Out there.
So I get why they do it, and this is all voted on and all that stuff. But I especially don't like it from a betting standpoint because I just feel like, man, once it goes to extras, I just feel like I'm always on the wrong side of it for whatever reason.
All right, so 2 on now for Arizona, still 1 out. We'll continue to monitor that. This Guardians-Giants game is still scoreless. We are now on the top of the 4th. The Giants with Rafael Devers gets a leadoff double.
Wow.
So heavy favorite. The Guardians were about 220 or so. They got a leadoff double in the 4th, and the guy making his major league debut is pitching pretty well, Wilkinson, for the Giants. I'm heavy on the Guardians, so we'll continue to monitor that. By the way, Stack Show coming up in about 9 minutes from now. Greg Hoops Peterson will give us his best bets for tonight on the diamond in Major League Baseball. We're also going to break down Dodgers and Rockies. LA seemingly has broken out of their hitting slump the first 2 days at Coors Field. How do you play tonight's game? More so, Kyle Freeland has turned into like a Cy Young Award winner the last 3 starts. He's been fantastic, allowing just 1 earned in 3 straight starts. What do we make of that now that he has to go against this Dodgers lineup that seems to have broken out of its slump, we think? So I think it's an interesting handicap. The betting nerd in me is really curious about that. And then if Kyle Tucker's in the lineup, do we bet his props under for some of the total bases, things along those lines? I'm fascinated by that. And hey, it's another episode of the Circus Survivor documentary. Get caught up at VSiN.com and VSiN Live on YouTube for all the previous episodes. Really cool stuff. And we're also going to talk college football. That is about 10 days away. We have actual games with point spreads 10 days from now, next weekend. Not this coming weekend, but next weekend. And we'll talk a little golf. Scottie Scheffler finally broke through, and he's a monster favorite. Now that he broke through and the dam is broken, can we count on him to continue that? We'll talk with David Bierman coming up in about 3 hours from now. So, like I said, a very busy night across the diamond, and we also have a lot of action coming up in sports this weekend. And the Diamondbacks now have the bases chucked, so we'll continue to monitor that game as well. It's a big game for both teams with postseason aspirations. Will, I know you have the under in this game in Camden Yards. What other games have caught your eye so far?
No, just those. I saw that Cincinnati just cut a run down at the plate. Burns was, I think, perfect through the first six batters, perfect through two innings. And it looks like he escaped trouble there in the third. Philly up 3-0, Yanks up 2-1, San Francisco and Cleveland scoreless. So you and I will spend some time on Dodgers-Rockies, man. I don't really enjoy getting involved in games and cores because it's just, it's such a hitter-friendly paradise. It's just you can almost throw away the pitching data when it comes to Coors Field games, but it feels like, Doug, that boy, the Rockies are the antidote, the perfect solution here. Anytime the Dodgers are in a slump, you go there, score 7 runs, score 8 runs, and just everything is all right in the world. The Yankees used to have this as a Yankee fan with the Orioles. When the Orioles had some bad teams, the Twins were like this for years, and kind of still are like this. It's amazing where the Dodgers, everything can be wrong. The bullpen, the lineup, they look old. They go to Coors, they put up eight or nine runs every night, and I wouldn't expect anything different tonight. I know Freeland has pitched well, but I would expect, second, third inning, Dodgers already have 2 or 3, 4 runs. That's just, that's not a place conducive to getting the Dodgers out, despite the struggles recently.
Yeah, like you said, Coors seems to be a slump buster. We'll see what happens. Yes. Freeland's been good, but he's also faced some so-so offenses. So the Guardians, at that leadoff double, it's now, Devers has moved to third, but there's two outs. They just got a pop fly to left. That was too short for Devers to tag. And so Messick could get out of this. He's got one more out to get here. They are scoreless in the bottom of the fourth. Ben Rice, did he go yard? Talk to me.
He did.
He did. Solo shot to right. I have a tripod in the way. In terms of the Red Sox games, bases loaded, full count. Arizona already with a run in. The Ghost Runner scored, so it's 6-5 in the top of the 10th. And again, just one out. And he walked in another run. The Giants get a base infield hit, I think, or just went off the glove, whatever it is. They do score. So San Francisco, Will, that prop that we were talking about, who to score first, cashes for the Giants as big underdogs in the fourth inning. As I said, Greg Peterson standing by. He's got a handful of wagers to take you through. I do too. And how do we play the Mariners-Brewers? 22-0 yesterday. Where's the advantage? Mitch and Paulie were talking about it last hour. It's a bounce back spot, maybe a flat spot for the team that won big, but can we really make those sort of situational handicaps in baseball as opposed to like football and basketball? We're rolling along here on Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Thirty minutes into a four-hour tour, and we want to tell you about college football, what's going on. Week 0 almost here, 10 days away, and with the NFL season right behind it, now's the time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro today and get instant access to both our college football and NFL betting guides, packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's top analysts. And that's just the start. You'll also get daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, plus 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99 or save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. And I know, Will, you got a bunch of good stuff in there, so I encourage everyone to check it out. It really is a comprehensive preview for the upcoming season. Even if you're not going to bet a single future, it's good to sort of set the scene as you get ready for a season with a lot of turnover in both pro and college football. He is Will Hill. I am Doug Kazarian. This is Primetime here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The Red Sox are down to their final out, and it looks like the game has ended in Fenway. Arizona gets the road win in extra innings in 10-7-6. So kind of a wild game back and forth early on, and they prevail 7-6. Yankees were threatening. They're up 3-1 after the Ben Rice homer. And one game we haven't mentioned yet, it's really interesting because Aaron Nola all of a sudden has found his control, even though he's given up 30 homers this year. Phillies had the lead in the sixth inning, I should say. 3-1 Philly over the Marlins at home. But right now we bring in Greg Hoops Peterson, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Hoops, good to be with you here. And obviously, it's an action-packed day during the day on Wednesday and Thursday in Major League Baseball. And, you know, we have some games already in the books. We have five other games going on right now. But I want to talk about a game coming up in about an hour, and that's at Coors Field. The Dodgers have sort of found their offense the first couple games of this series. They have Sasaki on the bump, who's been great of late, but so is Kyle Freeland, Colorado starter. How are you approaching this game?
I think regression is going to be coming for Kyle Freeland. He has been good. He's given up one earned run in each out of his last three starts. You now have a Dodgers team that has found their swagger, though. Going into this series, since the beginning of the month of July, they were only averaging about four runs per game, but they still lead the league in terms of run creation away from home. They've actually been significantly better with their offense away from home rather than at home. And let's say Kyle Freeland does give you a relatively good start. You still have a Rockies bullpen that has been right there with Washington Nationals, last in the National League in terms of bullpen ERA as well. And for Rookie Sasaki, you do have to have a little bit of fear with him going up to elevation that he's going to be hit around a little bit as well. Now, Hunter Goodman deal with an injury for the Colorado Rockies makes their lineup a little bit less formidable, but we always know that the Rockies have some pretty good home and road splits with the offense, some good inning conditions out there in Colorado. So I know that 11.5 is a high total, especially with these two guys coming in relatively good form, but I took it over and I laid the run line at a minus 128 here with the Dodgers being able to win by multiple runs.
All right, Greg, I want to get into a game here that I like, and really it's a line I don't understand. The Rangers versus the Nationals. The Rangers are a small favorite, but Cade Cavalli going for the Nationals is better than Kumar Rocker for the Rangers. The Nationals have the better lineup. I know you got to stomach the Nationals bullpen, so you maybe keep it to a first five, but what's your handicap of this game? What am I missing, if anything?
Yep, I'm right there with you, and you're getting less juice on the over in this game than the game that I'm right now seeing on the board for tomorrow with Jacob deGrom, which I don't understand that. I do like the over in this ordeal, and I'm right there with you. I'm a Cade Cavalli believer. He's been getting over 9.5 strikeouts per nine innings. Yeah, maybe not the world's lowest ERA, but I mean, it's still a relatively solid ERA. You always do have to have the trepidations with the Washington Nationals bullpen. That has not been great, to say the least, but for Kumar Rocker, he's been having his issues as well. Has always been better throughout his career at home rather than away from home. A career ERA more around 4 at home, closer to 6 away from home. But still, he doesn't necessarily have the world's greatest control, giving up about 3 walks per 9 innings for the Nationals. Even with all the injuries, you still have CJ Abrams, who's been supplying 29 home runs. These guys like Adesim Nunez is able to swipe some bags. You've been able to have Dallin Lyle give you 15-plus home runs. Still a plenty good Washington Nationals lineup to get the job done here. Like that over of 7.5. I like the Nats here on the money line.
Greg, a game that's starting in about 5 minutes. Your Milwaukee Brewers, who've been on a roll of late, turning to Dusty Bay with Logan Gilbert and the Mariners in Milwaukee. But I think the key here is, how do you handicap a game that was 22-0 yesterday? Same two teams back at it today. I mean, this is minus 120 or so on the home Brewers. How do you handicap a game like this?
It is always very strange because it's actually better for a team to get absolutely destroyed rather than lose like a 2-1 or a 3-2 squeaker. Because in like that one run game or something like that, you're going to be throwing out there the high leverage arms and everything like that. Position player Leo Rivas was pitching in the eighth inning for the Seattle Mariners. That helps out their cause. Even with that helping out their cause, certainly I don't think they're giving up 22 runs again, or else, man, for the Mariners, they might want to pack it up and call it a season. But I'm still in on the Brewers here, mainly because I just think that Dustin May is really going to benefit from now being in Milwaukee. His ERA has been hovering around 4, but if you look at the fielding independent numbers, sub 350 there, really doesn't give up a lot of hard contact with 0.7 home runs per 9 innings allowed. And I'd be feeling a little bit better about a bounce back spot for the Mariners if it weren't for the fact that out of 30 teams right now, they are 30th in terms of run creation. Gal Raleigh has had one of the biggest regression seasons I think I've ever seen in my life. Guy's been absolutely awful at the plate, so I just don't see where the offense is going to be coming from for the Mariners. And Logan Gilbert has actually been really good away from home. He's given up one home run in over 50 innings this year, but the Brewers don't need home runs to be able to get runs. Going into the series, they were actually last in the big leagues in terms of home runs on a per at-bat basis, but yet a top five offense in terms of run creation. Do think that the Brewers go out there, get the job done. I like the short price on their money line. And with the total at 7.5, I think that you get just enough small ball to get you to the over.
All right, Greg, Astros are -160 favorites over the Angels. The total is 8.5. Curious who you like in that game, if anyone, and a little bonus question, and it's a tough one. Who wins, if anybody, the AL West? I guess by rule, they have to grant the division to somebody, but give me your thoughts here on the Astros in this game tonight and just big picture thoughts on the division.
Yeah, I was feeling good about the Texas Rangers about a week or two ago, but when you're stubbing your toe against the current LA Angels and also against the Athletics, that's not great. So I do by default go with the Astros just because they do have that playoff experience, the likes of Yordan Alvarez, Jose Altuve, and company. But I actually think that this is a spot where the Angels present some value. I bet them on the money line. Ethan Pecco is going to be making his MLB debut for the Houston Astros, the pride of the Towson Tigers. So shout out there to the great state of Maryland, but not a guy that really impressed me for the Sugar Landscape Cowboys, 4.91 ERA. Not a super highly touted prospect. Not going to blow you away with his swing and miss stuff. And Walberry Urania has actually been one of the very, very, very few bright spots for the Angels. You do have to be mindful of the walks. He does give up over 4 walks per 9 innings, but sub-2.75 ERA, giving up a half a home run per 9 innings. He's been a master at inducing soft contact, and this has been an Angels lineup that has been awful since the All-Star break. Less than 3 runs per game, but a lot of those struggles come at home. They actually score more than a full run per game more when they're away from home rather than at home. So that puts me in here on the Angels on the money line. And the 8.5 total, I think that they get to the young gun at Pecco. I like the over.
Okay. I mean, the Angels have only scored 4 total runs in their last 3 games, but you think there's a chance they see the over. One other game, and we have about a minute and change here, Hoops, but I always wonder, like, how do you handicap a team like the Royals that were just kind of going through the motions all game, and then they score late and escape with the win? Do they have the same urgency today as they approach this game with the lowly Athletics, who have a bad pitcher on the bump in Springs?
Yeah, man, this is, if you're watching this game, you really love baseball or you really love your bet. Oh, perhaps it could be both, but yeah, this is a rough one to say the least, but money to be made because Jeffrey Springs, well, his ERA has gotten sprung up to an ERA above a 6, and it's not as if it gets any better after Jeffrey Springs. Since June 1st, the Athletics bullpen ERA 6.68, and then you've got a Royals bullpen that has been royally awful themselves, second worst in terms of bullpen ERA, and yet we're seeing a total of an 8.5 with the fences moved in at Kauffman Stadium from past years. That put me in on the over, and you do have a guy in Seth Lugo who posts up a ERA about a full 0.5 lower when he's at home rather than away from him. He's a veteran that you know what you're going to get out of him, and for Jeffrey Springs, this just feels like a lost season. Keep in mind the Athletics without their top 3 home run hitters in the lineup as well. At the very least for the Royals, you saw Bobby Witt Jr., you still have Salvador Perez, guys like that, so I took a shot here on the Royals on the money line. -170 is getting a little bit too high. This has been going up and up and up. So if you still want to back the Royals, I would say reduce the juice, take the over.
Okay, so the over in that game, or you could go team total. That's another option. All right, Hoops, thanks so much for the insight, and good luck with all your plays tonight.
Always appreciate it, gentlemen. Thank you.
All right, that's Greg Peterson joining
thanks,
us
Greg.
Via the Progressive guest line. He is Will Hill. I am Doug Kazarian. The Guardians had 2 on and 2 out in scoring position and a diving catch in left field. It was playable. It wasn't like a ridiculous play, but that is now 1-0 in the 5th inning. The big underdog Giants with the lead on the road in Cleveland. A couple other interesting developments. The Phillies get out of a jam, so it's 3-1, bottom 8. They lead over the Marlins. We'll continue to update those games. Also look ahead to games that are about to start here as we roll on here on Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
$30 million in guaranteed prizes. Cash in this football season in Las Vegas with 3 Circa Sports contests. Entries starting at $1,000, all with no rake. That means every dollar stays in the prize pool. Circa Million, 18 weeks, 128 ways to win. Circa Survivor, pick 1 winner each week, last one standing wins. And Circa Grandissimo for the high rollers, $100,000 entry. Enter in Nevada. Play from anywhere. $30 million guaranteed. Visit circusports.com for details. Alongside Will Hill, I am Doug Kazarian in downtown Las Vegas here at the Circa Resort and Casino. Will on the East Coast as we go coast to coast. Will, you've already warned everyone you're going to win Circa Million. How do you feel about that, and how do you have you spent the money yet?
I feel like it'd be irresponsible to spend the money already, but I still feel confident. But it's here, Doug. It felt like, and it's funny, I wonder what your answer is on this. Because people have their different versions of like when football starts. For some people, it's the Hall of Fame game. They say, oh, football's back. For some people, it's, you know, it's not the first game until the regular season. To me, it was last weekend. It was last Thursday, the first time you get multiple games at a time. You get that night where you get five or six games. So to me, football has started, and football started last week. But what is the Doug Kazarian official date as you rule with an iron fist of when football actually starts?
The czar of sports. It's definitely not the Hall of Fame game or preseason. It's regular season. It's college football. Okay. So week zero, if you're just an NFL fan, I'll tell you you're missing out, but I can respect that and say as long as it's NFL regular season starts, I'm okay with that. So how about yourself?
I thought it was last week. I thought when you get to me, because I bet the preseason and I bet it as much. And look, the money spends the same, whether week one of the preseason, Titans 49ers, as Kyle Shanahan kicks a field goal at 1 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast to get you back door, or if it's, you know, the Super Bowl and it's going to overtime, the money still spends the same at the grocery store or the restaurant or wherever you spend your money. But to me, it's last weekend. Last weekend felt like, all right, I got multiple games. Jeremiah Love is in the game. Mendoza is in the game. Football to me meant back. Doesn't mean it's right. It's all, you know, it's very personal, but it's just, we all have different versions of it. But to me, last Thursday night was the first time I felt like, all right, it's football season. Football's back. I'm watching it. I'm betting it. Money changing hands. We have officially started football season. I'm with you. Hall of Fame game's too early. It's just like it's just a taste. It's you know, you go to the ice cream place and they let you sample the ice cream. It's just a sample, the Hall of Fame game. Football is not back with the Hall of Fame game. I thought last weekend it was back.
Okay, that's fair. It is definitely baseball season. Each team has about 35 games to go in the regular season, give or take. And we kicked around how interesting of a handicap this was with the Brewers after the beatdown yesterday over Seattle, 22-0. Well, once you know it, that's baseball. First two runners get on for Seattle, and now they have two runs in. So they lead 2-0. We're still in the top of the first. They get to Dustin May, runner on third as well. So here's a team that couldn't score at all, got pounded, and they showed some life right out of the gates, which I think we kind of expected, which is why I stayed off the game. A, it was Dustin May, but also B, I just, you know, these are weird situations. I just don't know the circumstance how to really handicap it.
I'm with you. I thought that I thought May was a little overvalued, and it's easy to say when it's 2-0, but a lot of contact in his profile, Doug. Not a lot of swings and misses, not a ton of strikeouts, and I completely dismissed the idea that it was 22-0 and the Mariners are going to be motivated or they're going to be upset and sad. I mean, this is not, you know, this is not the Little League World Series where these kids go home and cry at the end of the game. These guys are all professionals. They're all well paid. They go out, they have a nice dinner. They do whatever else major league professional athletes do after a game, and they wake up and they get ready for the next one because they play 162 of these. So whether you lose 2-0, 22-0, I know it was embarrassing, and it's funny because I had the first five under last night, under four, and it's 1-0, bottom of the fifth. I started doing some other things. I figured, and this is the golden rule, as you know, of betting. Oh. Never count your chickens. Never assume it's a winner. See, it's 1-0 in the fifth, bottom of the fifth. I need three outs. I got three or four runs to play with. I'm probably okay. I didn't check till like a half hour later, and I saw the game had completely blown up, and then it blew up to another extent, you know, as the game went on. But I think these guys, for the most part, completely, you know, once you wake up, it's over with. They play 162. I don't think they get attached to the result as we might think they do.
No, they don't. No, they don't. And it's a long season. You just never know. So now the Mariners at first and third, still top one, 2-0, two outs. We're going to talk about a couple pitchers tonight that have been shaky all year, but been really strong of late. And the first one I want to discuss is Aaron Nola, who pitched in the Field of Dreams game for Philly. He's given up 30 dingers this year. This guy had no control. He's getting rocked left and right, and all of a sudden he has settled down. Today, he's in the seventh. Phillies have the 3-1 lead over the Marlins at home. Nola's 6 1/3, still on the mound, and 5 hits, 7 strikeouts, no walks. So what do you make of this recent surge by Nola? And is this a guy you're actually going to back in the next outing? Or are you looking for him to kind of regress to what we saw most of the season?
I think there's always been some positive regression in his numbers where the expected ERA was much better than the actual ERA, and he got bitten. And like you said, he struggled to keep the ball in the ballpark, but he's okay. He's a professional pitcher. He's not, you know, he's not probably going to pitch. You wouldn't think when they get to the playoffs, especially if they get the best of the three, maybe he gets game four when they get to the best of seven, but I'm okay with Nola. I think he's a little undervalued. He's a little bit, man. He's a polarizing, almost a confounding pitcher if you bet baseball every day for all these years, because I think Mike Palm has said this and says it well. If, you know, if they score a run, he'll give up two. If your team scores five, he'll give up six. He almost like finds a way to lose where he's just so frustrating, but he's got ability. I mean, he's got pedigree, he's got ability, and he's not as bad. Maybe his reputation, I think this year was an example where he's a little undervalued. So I'm okay with Nola. I think he's okay, but as Mike Palm says and says it well, if you give up two, he'll give up three. You know, if your team scores two, if the Phillies score two, he'll give up three. And if you give up three, he'll give up four. He always finds a way somehow to be on the wrong end of it.
Okay, so you'll be maybe considering to back him next. We'll see. We'll see in that regard. Another guy who's been pitching really well of late is Kyle Freeland. As Greg Peterson was telling you a little bit ago, giving up one earned in three straight starts, which is a far cry from what we've seen a lot in his career. Question is, the Dodgers come to town, so we have on primetime have this game circled.
And the stakes are high. It's the primetime game of the night.
Less than 1 hour from now, the Rockies wrapping up their three-game series with the Dodgers as LA goes for the sweep. Rockies, big home dogs, as behind Sasaki, who's been really strong of late, and I'll tell you more about that as to the why, Dodgers, $1.95 favorites. On the run line, they're minus 128. This is a team that couldn't get the offense going recently, been, you know, swept by the Red Sox, swept by the Cubs, just couldn't get anything right. The Brewers took 3 of 4 in LA, and now the slump buster that is Coors Field, the Dodgers' bats have awoken, but they're going against Kyle Freeland, Will, who I just mentioned has been really in a groove. Now, Sasaki allegedly, or at least they think he was tipping his pitches, and that's why he was getting touched up a lot. So he goes to this hockey mitt, this hockey glove of a glove, and all of a sudden he's been lights out for the most part the last, I don't know, month and a half. I've been backing Sasaki a lot. I'm not ready to back him here because Freeland has actually scared me away. How do you think Freeland will fare against the Dodgers lineup that's starting to hit a little bit?
Not well. I would imagine it doesn't go well, even though the Dodgers, you know, the bullpen hasn't been good. The lineup has started to show some age. You know, Freeman's been in the league a decade and a half. Betts has been in the league, you know, almost a decade and a half. These guys have starting to look old. Tucker, the contract's been a disaster. That being said, you can almost set your clock to it. The Dodgers go into Coors, and whatever's wrong ends up going right. They end up scoring 7-8 runs. Now, I looked at the team total because that's probably, if I had to bet anything here, Doug, and I have made no bets yet, we still got a little time until the game starts. If I had to bet anything, just my first instinct is, you know what, Dodgers team total over. They go into Coors, they score 8-9 runs every time they're in Coors. Because I'm getting the ninth at bat, which is something you worry about with a team total. At 6.5, I mean, you could bet baseball all day, every day, every year. You're never going to see higher than a 6.5 total. So they've capped you out. They've maxed you out where, boy, you got to get to 7 runs to win, and that's asking a lot. You're paying the tax. That'd still be the way I would go, though. I do expect the Dodgers, despite the fact that Freeland has pitched well, to score. The fastball velocity for Freeland is under 92 miles an hour. I know he doesn't walk people. He gets some chases, but the stuff just isn't there, and I expect the Dodgers to get to him. So, you know, minus 170 on the first 5 money line I think is okay. Team total over 6.5, even though it's expensive, I think is okay. So I'm still pro Dodgers, even though you're probably paying a little bit of a tax for it. What do you think here in the final minute or so?
Well, I have the Guardians -0.5 in the first 5, and they're down 1-0 in the 6th, so that didn't fare well. I would do the same for Sasaki and the Dodgers. I think they can get enough. And also the Rockies, one of the best in baseball in terms of late-inning runs. And we saw them backdoor the other night. They just tack on runs. We saw the Marlins the other night against Sanchez and the Phillies. So if you like your starter, I usually go first 5 -0.5. But obviously, it's not looking too well. I'm going to ask you about Kyle Tucker to go yard, plus 470. That's an attractive price, isn't it, with how hot he's been? No, not so much. Okay, we're approaching top of the hour. 1 hour down, 3 more hours to go here on Primetime. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.